Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. Vegan Nation is an informational program about living the vegan lifestyle, featuring interviews with individuals and organizations who are practicing a healthy vegan lifestyle. Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene Narrow. In today's special program, I'd like to start out with a quote by American author Henry David Thoreau. Born 200 years ago in 1817, quote, "There are 1,000 hacking at the branches of evil to one who is striking at the root," end quote. In today's program, we are featuring a political party who is doing just that, striking at the root. And in the words of another Massachusetts native, a modern-day philosopher, Will Tuttle, "The root cause of humanity's crises is hidden in plain sight, right underneath our nose and on our plates. And that would be the practice of confining and killing other animals, reducing their lives into objects to be used." So on this Inauguration Day, 2017, we believe there is hope and power for cultural transformation and sustainability. I am very honored to introduce Robin Miller of the Humane Party. Robin Miller is the past CEO of the Humane Party, and the Humane Party is a vegan U.S. political party that was formed in 2009. Robin is joining us via Skype in Southwest Florida. Robin has been an animal rights activist for the last 35 years in all facets of activism, and she has been vegan for 27 years. In 2012, Robin graduated from the first ever accredited animal advocacy program. Through study in animal law, veterinary forensic science, and animal policy and lobbying, she began to realize that for other animals to be free from exploitation, torture, and murder, their legal status as property had to be abolished. During Robin's term as CEO of the Humane Party, she finalized the groundbreaking Abolition Amendment, a constitutional amendment proposal to grant legal rights to all species. And it is a great honor to have Robin Miller joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you, Marlene. I am thrilled to be here, and I'm so grateful for your time. Thank you.
Thank you. You are very important, and we're very grateful to hear details about politics, and you're the woman to tell us about it.
Thanks, Marlene. If you understand my evolution as an animal rights advocate into politics, it may help you to more easily see your own evolution, because as vegans and activists, we all walk in similar shoes.
Let's hear some of the specifics of your activities.
So I have participated in protests. I've organized demonstrations. I actually marched on Washington, D.C. You know, there's another march on Washington. So obviously my efforts there didn't come to fruition. But, you know, we've been involved in public speaking. We write letters to the editor. We write letters to government. We've signed thousands of petitions. I volunteered at animal shelters and rescues and have adopted housefuls of animals so that they wouldn't be killed. I've purchased acreage to end hunting and then worked with wildlife rehabilitators to offer protected sites for the release of the animals that they had rehabbed. I traveled to the Magdalen Islands in Canada to try to help end the seal hunt there. I've studied humane education. I graduated with a certificate in animal advocacy and interned in New York State government. I've been vegan for 27 years. And here we are in the beginning of 2017, signing the same petitions, protesting the same atrocities, and asking the same legislators to change their minds. So there must be something more that is needed to actually get this job done.
And that leads me into asking you about voting and having our values aligned with our voting.
Thank you, Marlene. Yes. So in recognition of Inauguration Day, let's talk about that. Because we as vegans and animal rights activists absolutely must learn to connect our values with our votes. So in 2016, at least for the presidential candidates, a vote for any other candidate besides the Humane Party's Clifton Roberts was a vote for animal cruelty. It was a vote for exploitation and murder of other species to continue. And I apologize for being so blunt about that, but this is a vital, vital concept for vegans and animal rights activist voters to understand. And we must go even further than that. Vote for a vegan candidate isn't enough.
Robin, thank you. And can you explain what you mean by that?
So America uses a party system in government. And whether we agree with it or not, it's the system that we must work within to be able to change it. So a political party forms around a set of ideals. It develops its platform to put forth those ideals. So in essence, the platform shows how that political party wants America to be. Then the party finds a candidate to endorse. And this candidate will represent those ideals, the ideals of the party, and carry them out in government. So even if a candidate is vegan, if he or she represents a party platform that doesn't support veganism, at that point, the veganism of the candidate is politically irrelevant.
And can you give us some examples?
Thank you, Marlene. Yes. So, for example, if a vegan candidate represents a party platform that supports, let's say, vivisection, so maybe that political party has a tie to the pharmaceutical industry in some way. In government, the veganism of that candidate will have no impact because that candidate, once elected, has promised to represent the party platform. So vegan or not, that candidate who is now elected as a legislator must bring forth his or her party's platform. So in this case, that would mean that that candidate, vegan or not, would have to vote in favor of the pharmaceutical industry, which would mean voting in favor of vivisection. The same scenario holds for animal agriculture. So if a vegan candidate is endorsed by a party with ties, let's say in any way, to animal agriculture, perhaps the party received donations from the animal agriculture industry, or maybe party leadership owns ranches, or maybe the party is supported by farm bureaus. Those alliances affect platforms and politics. And that legislator, vegan or not, agreed to promote that party's agenda when he or she accepted the party endorsement. So to go against your party would be political suicide. You know, obviously, all of us want to keep our jobs. That legislator wants to be reelected into office the next election cycle. But if a legislator goes against the party platform, obviously he or she would not be endorsed again and would most likely lose his or her job. Because if we learned anything from the campaign of Clifton Roberts in last year's election cycle, it's very challenging for any candidate in America to win an election who is not endorsed by one of the two major political parties right now. So this is where the Humane Party comes in. We must grow the Humane Party into a major party so that its vegan animal rights platform can actually be introduced into government, so that the Clifton Roberts and other Humane Party candidates will actually win elections.
Thank you for explaining that. That really helps a lot to hear that information. Robin, in the political scene, I see a lot of petitions. Could you please explain about why votes are more important than petitions?
Oh, absolutely. Great question, Marlene. Thank you. Petitions are very good at bringing awareness to an issue, but they're not very effective in politics, simply because they're not very effective at actually changing law. There's three main reasons for this. The first is related to voting districts. So all politicians obviously want to keep their jobs, as I mentioned before. So let's use Massachusetts as an example. So say in Massachusetts, a petition has been started because you want your state senate to vote for something or pass a law or not to do something, maybe to not vote in favor of passing a particular law. And you put your petition out on the internet, and let's say you get 500,000 signatures, which most people would consider to be very successful, and they would expect that petition to be highly effective. The problem is that because of voting districts, say I sign your petition and I live in Southwest Florida, my signature, and all of the other signatures of people outside of that voting district have no impact. They are completely not important to the senator or the legislator whom you're trying to get to vote a certain way or not vote a certain way, because they know that Robin Miller, living in Southwest Florida, has no impact if he or she will be voted into office or not the next election cycle. I have no registration in the state of Massachusetts to vote for or against any candidate. So in the end, my signature on that type of petition, living outside of that voting district, has absolutely no impact on that politician.
And I would imagine that many citizens are not aware of this information that you just shared.
Absolutely. It's something that I've learned through my work with the Humane Party. It's an important concept to really understand, because we must start really focusing in a very effective way our vegan and activism efforts. Another reason that petitions aren't highly effective in politics is because they're non-binding. A signature doesn't require anyone to do anything. It asks someone to do something or not do something, but it doesn't require anyone to do anything. There are basically no ramifications if the wishes of the petition signers are not upheld. So that's an important concept to understand as well.
We're listening to Robin Miller of the Humane Party.
A third reason why petitions politically aren't very effective is because there's no accountability tied to them. So what should be done is that if the will of the petition signers was not upheld, it should be publicized. And that legislator should be campaigned against in the next election cycle. Or better yet, someone stands up to be endorsed by the Humane Party and runs in the next election. But the petition doesn't offer that accountability. So in politics, it's votes that count. Votes are what matters in the political world. And so I want to share with you something that Shell Harrison is a convener of the Humane Party, said to me, because it's a fantastic quote in relation to politics. He said to me, if petitions mattered, they would be called votes. So I'm not telling your listeners to stop all of the activities that they believe in. If petitions matter to them, by all means, sign petitions that support your cause. But what I am saying is that until the animal rights and vegan movements come full circle and get involved in politics, and I mean effectively involved, we have to become organized. We must be in it to win it. And until this happens, other animals will never be granted legally enforceable rights, simply because the current American political landscape is set up against it. So we need to start voting for people who actually care, from parties that actually care, rather than just hoping those in office are going to change their minds.
We're listening to Robin Miller of the Humane Party, a U.S. political party that formed in 2009, and all office holders and board of directors of the Humane Party are vegans. This is Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. After this short break, we'll continue our conversation with Robin Miller.
You're in tune to WCUW 91.3 FM, community radio serving central Massachusetts, online at WCUW.org.
Go dancing in the park, stay there after dark. Sweet sound, soft and low, song on the radio.
You'll find one of these on a Friday morning, that's for sure. Troy here with the Jukebox of Americana, Fridays at 9 to 12 noon. Please join us.
After all is said and done, you know you are my only one.
Welcome back from the break. This is Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. We are very fortunate to be joined by Robin Miller, the past CEO of the Humane Party and current advisor to the CEO of the Humane Party. The instrumental music included within today's program is by Will Tuttle from his album Animal Songs. Prior to the break, we heard Alive and the Lamb Song. And in this half of the program, we'll hear the Deer Song, Turkey Song, and To Be Free. Thanks again, Robin, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you, Marlene.
Well, that was very interesting to hear the information that you shared about the party system, with all political parties, how that works. And I'm really curious to hear about developing state chapters in all states.
Oh, thank you, Marlene. I'd love to share this with your listeners. So I want your audience to understand that the Humane Party takes very seriously its representation of all other species. We actually consider other species to be our constituents. And we take extra steps to hold Humane Party volunteers and board members, leadership, and candidates accountable to other species. One way we do this is that we're an all-volunteer organization. We're structured that way because other animals have no money. They don't have the ability to donate to the Humane Party to represent their best interests. And so we want Humane Party candidates to be able to make the right choice, not necessarily the choice that a donor might dictate. So we remain an all-volunteer organization to decrease our reliance on needing to bring in money and take donations from donors who would be human. Another way we do this is we sign the Humane Party oath. This oath helps to hold us accountable to all other species because other species can't vote. So we take this very, very seriously and want to represent the best interest of vegans and animal rights activists in government, but also represent the best interest of all other species and the habitats within which we all live. So in order to do this, the Humane Party needs to establish a state chapter in every state. And the reason is that election law is handled at the state level. Election laws are written and enforced at the state level. So those of us in Humane Party National right now exist to help people at the state level establish and grow legally filed Humane Party state chapters. The only way that we're going to get Humane Party candidates on the ballot to be ballot qualified, which means that their names are pre-printed on the ballot, the only way we're going to be able to get that done is to first establish these state chapters. We need to comply with the regulations. Each state sets their own regulations, so each state is a little bit different. We're going to need to comply with each state's regulations to establish the Humane Party state chapter and then work towards becoming ballot qualified so that Humane Party candidates are actually pre-printed on the ballot in every state. With this process that the Humane Party platform and the best interests of your listeners will start to be represented in government.
Wonderful.
So I would encourage everyone who's hearing this interview right now to in some way seriously get involved in politics. Either contact the Humane Party about being a candidate. If that sounds a little intimidating to you, we need volunteers in every state with all kinds of expertise and talents and skill sets. Anyone who genuinely wants to help the party grow, to help gain legally enforceable rights for all species, is welcome and needed.
That's great. That's a great call to action.
Yes, well, certainly I encourage all of your listeners to please go to our website, humaneparty.org, and read through the entire Humane Party platform. Obviously, it's the Humane Party's position on animal rights that sets us apart from all other political parties, but the rest of the platform is pretty incredible too. We have a very strong green policy, and we address a whole host of other topics. One of the things that the Humane Party has accomplished, and during my term as CEO, we formalized the Abolition Amendment, and that is an amendment proposal to the United States Constitution. It could also be adopted on the state level. So, for example, you in Massachusetts could take this abolition amendment to your local representatives in state government and ask them to get this passed. And this abolition amendment is the legal language that will actually secure legally enforceable rights for all other species. And I'm proud to say that during my term as CEO for the Humane Party, I signed the final draft of this abolition amendment.
Congratulations. I also know that you have been involved with an Equal Rights 2 amendment.
Yes, the Humane Party is humane in every aspect. So So we are continually evolving our platform based on advances in science and ethics to be as compassionate in every possible area as we can be. And the ERA 2 is precedent setting because it expands upon the Equal Rights Amendment that actually hasn't been ratified to include other segments of the population as well. We've expanded upon women. All of these initiatives, the ERA 2, the Democracy Amendment, which addresses the Electoral College, which if anyone, since this is Inauguration Day, if anyone is unhappy with the turnout of the 2016 presidential election, I urge you to go to the Democracy Amendment Facebook page to read about that amendment proposal that the Humane Party authored. And once again, through Ethical Commons, the Humane Party invites anyone, even if they don't want to support the Humane Party in its entirety, to take that Democracy Amendment proposal to your current legislators and ask them to get it passed. The Democracy Amendment specifically addresses the way that Americans elect their president. The Humane Party firmly believes that it should be the right of every American citizen to directly elect whom they want to represent them as their president. And that's not the way the system is set up right now in America. We use an electoral college system.
Thank you, Robin, and also the other volunteers at the Humane Party. Robin, I'd like to read this quote that I read on one of your statements. Quote, "Animal rights activists don't make laws. Legislators do. Activists and vegans must enter the political arena in some way to gain any sort of governmental representation of our best interests," end quote.
Thank you for sharing that, Marlene. Thank you. I firmly believe that. And the reason that I decided to volunteer with the Humane Party in such a serious way is because of that statement that you just read. As I shared at the very beginning of this interview, all of the activities that I have done with the best of intentions over the last 35 years, that I'm sure many of your listeners have walked the same path that I have, and we're here today with really very little change for the lives of animals. You know, in truth, nothing has really changed for them. And I came to realize that until all species are granted legally enforceable rights, their situations really aren't going to improve. And the only way that we can address that is to change legislation. And because we're working with legislators now who animal rights and veganism isn't what's important to them, it's not part of their agenda, it's not part of the platforms that they're representing, then we need to replace those legislators with Humane Party legislators who do agree with our values, who do agree and want to win animal rights, who do live a vegan lifestyle and a compassionate lifestyle.
This needs to be in votes and in political platforms that are in alignment with those who have a philosophy and a belief and an action of nonviolence, justice, equality, and compassion. And I'm also very thrilled that you, in 2012, graduated from the first ever accredited undergraduate program in animal advocacy through the study of animal law, veterinary forensic science, and animal policy and lobbying.
Thank you, Marlene. I'm very proud to be able to say that. And I want to share with your audience that that program was basically founded by Valerie Walden in Troy, New York. It was at Hudson Valley Community College in Troy. And she is heavily involved with the Humane Party as well. She is the New York State developer for the Humane Party. So we are attracting some very serious people in the animal rights and vegan world. I'll share with you a little of my experience of that program. I was chosen by my animal policy professor to speak to a representative of the New York State Senate Agricultural Committee. I also interned in a New York State Assemblyman's office at the end of that program before I graduated. And my time, even in that somewhat limited exposure to New York State government, being on the inside, I learned very quickly why animal rights won't succeed until we change the political structure. The time is now that vegans and animal rights activists get inside politics, not just sign letters and sign petitions from the outside. We have to get inside of politics to be able to change it.
And speaking of that, Robin, what can you say about the 2020 Inauguration Day?
Well, we need to start preparing now. It seems like it's a long time away. It isn't. In order for Clifton Roberts to be ballot qualified in 2020, we need to start establishing state chapters now. The 2018 elections as well, we need to start establishing state chapters now so that all of those state-level Humane Party-endorsed candidates will be pre-printed on the ballot.
Thank you, Robin. And we're coming to a close in the interview. Are there any additional messages that you'd like to leave with our listeners?
I would just like to thank your listeners for choosing the vegan lifestyle and for the animal advocacy efforts that they participate in now. And I hope that in some way, what I've shared today will inspire your listeners to join the revolution in their own activism efforts to begin to embrace politics and to begin to understand it and work within it to change the system we've got now. Because in the end, this is what I believe to be the only truly permanent solution to animal exploitation, torture, and murder.
You're listening to Robin Miller, the past CEO of the Humane Party and currently the advisor to the CEO of the Humane Party. And Robin is joining us via Skype in Southwest Florida. Thank you very much, Robin, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Marlene, it has been my pleasure, and I'm so grateful for the time. Thank you so much.
Thank you. This has been wonderful, and thank you for all the educational information as well and the inspiration for a cultural transformation for a world of justice, peace, and sustainability.
Beautifully said.
What contact information can you leave with our listeners, and also what upcoming projects do you have with the Humane Party?
Oh, thank you, Marlene. Yes, anyone interested in volunteering for HP can fill out our volunteer application through the main page of our website at humaneparty.org. Across the menu bar, it will say Contact Volunteer, and you can fill out the contact form. And you will be responded to very quickly, most likely by me, with a phone call and a follow-up email. And we've got some exciting growth happening right now. We have Catherine Perry, who's been named the Humane Party Editor-in-Chief. She's developing a research and writing team, which has already started writing and sort of a blog format, a document called the Humane Herald. I encourage all of your listeners to subscribe to that, the Humane Herald. We also have formed a policy team that's led by an economist. We have a lawyer on the team. It addresses internal and external Humane Party policy. We also have formed a specialty policy team with an economist and a veganic farmer, an agricultural specialist who is a veganic farmer, that we are coming up with a document that will guide the transition of America from an animal agricultural-based industry to a veganic farming-based industry. So there are some very specific projects that, if any of those call to you, please contact us to volunteer on those teams. But obviously, there's always a huge need for volunteers at the state level to get state chapters formed.
Thank you. You are change makers, and you have the practical solutions with the wisdom to back it up.
We're building a fantastic Humane Party family, and I encourage everyone to volunteer.
And I might add, compassionate wisdom to back it up. Thank you very much, Robin.
Thank you, Marlene. This has been wonderful. Thank you so much for the time.
That was Robin Miller, past CEO of the Humane Party and current advisor to the CEO of the Humane Party, a U.S. political party that formed in 2009. It was a great honor to be joined by Robin, and I'd like to give a special thank you to Robin and all the volunteers at the Humane Party. And I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. Join us again next week at the same time to hear more news on living a vegan lifestyle. You can listen to this program again at wcuw.org/Vegan Nation. Theme music provided by Joseph Peck. This is Molly Narrow wishing you a good day. And here's an Inauguration Day reminder. In the Vegan Nation archives, wcuw.org/Vegan Nation. You can also hear the previous Humane Party interviews with Shel Harrison and Clifton Roberts. Again, I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation.